You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Mino Studio is a pre- and post-production facility for all of your audio needs. Mino Studio's founder is an accredited audio engineer with top 40 and indie album credits. With over 30 years of music industry experience, Mino Studio can take your podcast from idea to reality. Contact Mino Studio at MinoStudio777@gmail.com for more information. That's Mino Studio spelled M-E-N-O, MinoStudio777@gmail.com. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs. And welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes, not featuring guests, where I share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is building a great out-of-state team. Last week in episode 018, I discussed why I buy out-of-state properties. In this week's episode, I begin to look at the mechanics of buying out-of-state. Specifically, your first step before buying, creating your out-of-state team. You will hear people say that real estate is all about relationships, and nothing could be more true. And be honest with you, this is also the most difficult part of real estate investing, getting great people to be part of your team. However, it is critical to your out-of-state investing success. The podcast today is about building an out-of-state team, and that is putting together a team of people in the city where your own properties are, who are your hands, feet, and eyes in that city, who are also committed to your success in that region. At this point, however, I need to differentiate between your out-of-state team and what I would call your hometown team. Your hometown team is a group of local professionals who work with you on your overall real estate investing efforts. These key individuals generally live near you. Your hometown team supports all of your investing efforts, whether in your hometown, in target cities and states, or even internationally. They have your whole business and overall goals at heart. Conversely, your out-of-state team is geographically specific. They're in that one key area that you're investing in. You need to have your hometown team in place first, however, before you build your out-of-state team. The hometown team generally consists of the following people: your real estate attorney, somebody that understands real estate law, your estate planning attorney. And as you start to grow your real estate portfolio, you'll see the value of that. But basically, you get more properties, it makes you more vulnerable. And so you want to also make sure you have asset protection in place, and that all of these things come underneath a living trust or some similar mechanism that should something happen to you, your spouse would get the funds without having to go through probate and all those problems. Your CPA and a bookkeeper. Keeping proper books for real estate investments is getting more complicated with all the new tax laws, and you need someone who understands the law and understands what you want. The right accounting professional will do much more than anybody else for your business. They can help you to structure your business in the right way to maximize profits and minimize taxes. Your mentor and your coach. This is the experienced real estate investor who is helping you, teaching you, mentoring, coaching you, and helping you learn the ropes of successful real estate investing. So those individuals right there are sort of your key core, and those are more than likely people that are close by. Your hometown team may also include other key support people, not necessarily geographically local, but they still help you with all your real estate properties and your real estate business. For example, a mortgage broker or banker. Both can offer you a variety of lending options, and that's key when you're buying properties. A mortgage broker may give you a variety of lenders from around the country and various loans, whereas a banker has their own products, and but they also make the loan decision too. So each have their advantages, and you can use both on your real estate team. Either way, it's important they understand what you want, fast closings, lower interest rates, corporate loans, etc. And then your insurance broker. Again, you can get a local insurance broker, or you can get somebody that insures nationally. And this would probably be more of a national broker that is familiar with what you're doing. They have experience with real estate investors, provide volume discounts as they insure multiple properties. They understand different types of policies, vacancies, owners, tenants policies, must have affordable coverage and premiums, and they know about insuring structures long-term through short-term construction insurance and even business liability coverage. You must put a really good independent insurance agent on your team. These are the key and closest consultants, advisors who know you and know your goals best. Author Gary Keller, the author of Millionaire Real Estate Investor, looks at it a little bit different. He breaks down your team into three different groups. He calls one the inner circle, which are the leadership advocacy group, which are consultants, partners, mentors, and coaches. And then he goes into the support circle, which I also put into my hometown team, which are the attorneys, the lenders, brokers, investors, accountants, contractors, property managers. And then he has a third group called the service circle, which do the work and the results. And they're more of, servicing the properties that you have. And this whole group is not a main concern, I would say, for out-of-state investors. A good property manager will have his or her key contacts and is used to managing these people well and cost efficiently. Your out-of-state team is also different from your local hometown team in that they are familiar with your overall investing goals, but not to the detail of your hometown team. And most of your communication with your out-of-state team occurs over the phone and via email, not in person as you would do with the hometown team. In another Fun Fact Friday, hopefully we can zero in more on the development of the hometown team. Let's move on to developing a great out-of-state team. Before you get started, of course, you need to know that the people that you're going to be interviewing meet the following criteria. They must be experienced and knowledgeable professionals, not newbies, who can effectively help you achieve your goals. You're looking here for the best and the brightest in the region, your A players, if possible. These people will also need to know your local needs and be in alignment with your goals. And finally, they should, a large part of their business, let's say it's an attorney, should be with real estate investors. They should be very familiar with the laws that you're going to be coming in contact with. Next, you need to start contacting people in the area, industry specialists in the city. It could be people in the Chamber of Commerce. It could be people in the development associations and so forth. These are people that are also, going to be a valuable resource for you. First, in most cases, most important team member for your out-of-state team, at least starting out, is your real estate broker. In many cases, this person will be your first contact in the city, and more than likely, your primary referral source for the rest of your team. So how do you find a great broker? There's a lot of different ways to do it, but here are some of the key ones. If you already know real estate investors or industry contacts in the city, ask them first. Word-of-mouth referrals are always your best source. If you don't know anyone, I would say start looking on LoopNet or CoStar, which lists all the various multifamily properties. If you're not looking in the multifamily realm, you'll go to Realtor.com or one of the more residential type of listings. But look at the properties that are similar to what you want to purchase. And for each property, there'll be a listing broker. Make a note of the broker's name, phone, and email. And depending on the size of the city, you may notice that certain brokers will keep emerging on a regular basis. Also, post on BiggerPockets. It's a great resource. It's BiggerPockets.com. And this is a great place to post and their forums and so forth. And say that you're looking for a broker in this city or that city. Contact REI, club leaders, property managers, title companies, and commercial lenders in the area. Also good sources of referrals. Once you've created a list of your potential brokers, you're going to want to talk to them. But before you speak with them, write a script of what you're going to say, and what I call kind of an elevator pitch, so to speak. Your script should include who you are and the types of properties you're going to be looking for. Spend some time on this because this is your first contact with a broker. It should be concise and to the point and quickly summarize your reason for calling. A good description will show the broker you know what you want, you know what you're doing, and that you're serious about doing business with him or her. Effectively done, it will create a favorable first impression, which is important. Some say it's better to call a broker, you know, about a specific property, even if you aren't really interested in that property. But I prefer, if I don't see a property that he lists or she lists that is of interest, I will just call them and just be real straight with them. The call would read something like this. Hi, Chuck. This guy's name is Chuck. My name is Bill Manicero, and I'm an investor from Southern California who is investing in your city. I've noticed you have a number of property listings that seem consistent with my buying criteria, and I'd like to talk further. Do you have a few minutes? Let him respond. If he can't talk at that moment, schedule a time he can. If he has a few minutes, he will most likely begin to ask you a number of questions. That's when you're going to come in with your elevator pitch, so to speak. And this is for example. I'm looking for multifamily properties for a value add move, possibly from a mom and pop seller, between 50 and 100 units, ideally a C property in a B class neighborhood at no more than 28K per unit. The units can use light rehab and new management to boost its value. And then you might want to add information on your cap rate or cash on cash requirements as well. But keep it simple and concise, and he'll ask questions about the areas that he's interested in. Once you've developed a good rapport with a broker, ask for leads. Get on his or her list or mailing list of properties that they have, and you'll start receiving properties in your email. Some of them you'll start making offers on. But please note, it's really important that you really take care of this relationship, that you promptly get back to the broker. If he sends you something, get back to him right away. Thank him for sending the deal. If you like the deal, go to the next step. If it's not what you're looking for, then tell the broker exactly why the property is not what you want, with details. This will show him that you are serious, interested, and truly looking to buy. In other words, you're not going to be wasting his time. That's really key for these guys because they talk to a lot of people every day. That's how it starts. Now, somewhere at this point, as you start to come across properties of interest, you might want to go ahead and schedule your first trip to the city. On that trip, it'll be a busy trip. You're going to schedule lots of property showings. You're going to get tours of the city from different people, not just your broker, if possible, but other contacts you might have made. And you can find the good emerging areas, the bad areas, areas of development and growth. Visit the downtown area. See new and dominant employers in the area. You also want to schedule appointment interviews with other potential team members. And you'd also want to meet with your potential building inspector at this time, because that will probably be the first person you're going to need as soon as you go under contract. As you continue communicating with the broker on this trip, you'll look for areas of commonality and learn more about the broker. I know one investor who I recently interviewed on my podcast who was connected with a broker and found out the broker was having his first child. The investor's wife caught hold of this fact, and she went out on a shopping spree for high-end baby clothes and other firstborn baby items. It made a huge impression on the broker, who soon started forwarding the investor great off-market deals, sold the investor's first property in that area, and continues to be the investor's primary source of great deals in that city to this day. So it's really about building good rapport. As the rapport grows, you can then start asking your broker more, you know, delving questions like, who do you know that I should know in town? Or what would you do if you were me in this situation? Do you know a good property manager, a building inspector, a real estate attorney? And you can start getting some good referrals from that. Next, you'll want to start the actual team building beyond the broker. Some of the people you're going to need are, as I mentioned, the property inspectors. That's one of the first one. And I'll just let you know, I put a lot of emphasis on this. The property inspector may include also people that are they check the environmental issue, or they could be pest control or whatever. But there's a building inspector that's really going to look over that building really, really well, or those buildings really well. And I always fly out for property inspections. I insist on not only going out there and walking with the inspector, but I want to see every single unit, not just a sampling of the units, but I want to see every single unit. And you have a right to do this, as of course you're employing this inspector, but you want to find an inspector that's okay with this, obviously. Another important one is your local real estate attorney. Now, you have the real estate attorney in your hometown team, but this person is familiar with the state laws in the area that you're buying, and you want to be sure that this person is good, and they'll help you through the processes, including setting up your LLC or whatever else you may be doing. Title company is huge, really important. With the big meltdown in 2007, title companies have become even more cautious, and they're operating under a lot more restrictive regulations. The title company can help you in your property evaluation and avoid nasty surprises after a purchase. Your escrow company, also local lenders, you know, there may be some local banks that you get referred to that can give you better deals than your mortgage broker can. Then there's specialty lenders, and these are the guys that you hit up that cost a lot more money, but it help you not let that deal slip away. Nothing's more frustrating than having to pass up a really profitable deal because you can't get the short-term funding you need. So these are people you want to have contact with well in advance. And your most vital is really your property management company, of course. They make or break your success in that area. As I mentioned also, as an out-of-state investor, you don't need to find the contractors and the service people and all of that. That's the job of a good property manager. If you don't like the service people your property manager uses, you can always request a change. But again, that's not a big issue for a good property manager. They'll respect the client and try to comply. So as you collect team members' names, you also start making contact and doing due diligence on the team. Start digging to find out information. Check the potential team members' Better Business Bureau ranking. Do Google searches on the name of the companies that you might be doing business with, as well as the individuals that you'll be dealing with. Check out Google ratings. They're like Yelp ratings, and I'd also check Yelp ratings too. Facebook, Twitter, other social media. Call current and previous clients of your potential team members and have a good script that you're going to interview and ask them questions about their experiences. And before you hire anybody, make sure you do a background, a criminal record check, you know, just like you would for a new potential employee. Once your team is in place, you're going to want to develop systems to make sure you stay in regular communication with your team members. Good communication is key to having a great team. Also, introduce your various team members to each other if possible, and keep them informed about your goals and what you're trying to accomplish in the region. Get and keep them motivated for success. Well, that's it for today. Please note everything we discussed today in today's show is included in our show notes on olddogsreinetwork.com. So you don't have to take notes. Everything's there for you. You'll just have to look up episode 020 about developing a great out-of-state team. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening. God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.